Well, we're gonna pick up where we left off this week. If you're just joining us, let me share with you a little bit of the heart of what's happening here. We've just completed the book of Acts. We've gone through the entire book of Acts, more than a year of study. And so today we are on part two of, we'll see how many steps this takes, okay? But the heart of it is this. We believe that we're called, right, to make disciples. I think that's a call that hasn't expired, hasn't changed. And so part of the problem is we see, as we've been praying, going through Acts, the early believers were the church. The people were the church, and they're the ones that brought the gospel, brought love, brought the passion, brought the culmination of all their gifts, their abilities, the places they lived, and everything that they offered. And that shouldn't change now here in Prescott Valley. But we feel like we might need more information. So we've been seeking this in some individual Bible studies. And we actually found what we thought was just a really powerful way of looking at spiritual gifts, grounded in the scripture. Anyone taking a person, like either a spiritual gifts inventory or a personality inventory, right? And usually what do those measure? What you do, okay? What you're good at, the things that you do. And in counseling with people, what we find is your family of origin, the places that you grow up, the time frame in which you grow up, all these things can impact what you do. The jobs you do, all of these things, they change us slightly, and we begin to learn to play roles. Is that fair to say? And so we want to go past that. We want to push through that to understand who we are in Christ and how we fit in this thing called the body of Christ. You guys heard of that before? Body of Christ? The idea is that not one of us is more important than the other, but that we all play a specific and powerful and important role. So for today, I've been praying about this for some time. Some of us have gone through this material. So what you're going to see over the next few weeks is I'm going to enlist some help from some people who've been sitting in this and who have identified with some of these spiritual gifts. But the first person I want to introduce you to is my wife, Brandy. Do you guys know Brandy? This is Brandy. Brandy, everyone? Everyone? Brandy. So Brandy actually has been at this even longer than I have studying this, so I wanted her to come up. But let me just touch on a few points before we get started, okay? If you look to my right over here, you'll see five large post-it notes. If you look to my left, you'll see five you know, large post-it notes. To my left, they're written much more legibly because I didn't write those. On this side is my handwriting, so I'm sorry. It wasn't Brandy, it was Linda, you know. So what I want to point you back to is, so the first poster on this side, do you want to mirror me on the other side? That'd be great, babe, if you don't mind. Sure, do that in case you want to. Okay, right here, we talked about this last week, but let me touch on it real quick before we go forward because there was so much information I gave to you. So what we have here is from Romans 12. It's giving this idea. Paul's talking to, look at the Vanna work over there. That's sweet. Paul's talking to early Gentile believers, and he's helping them to understand it's really important that you don't think too much of yourself or think that you have to be some kind of superstar. But the fact of the matter is God, through the Holy Spirit, has given us gifts that are unique to us that we use together to make up the body of Christ, right? Like we talked about, if you can't draw a flower with your mouth, but you can with your hand, it doesn't mean your mouth is no good. That's not the purpose of your mouth. If you can draw a flower by putting a pencil in your mouth, that's a different type of talent that might get you on a late night talk show, okay? But so what they said here is what we've discovered is the people have been studying this, and we've got this from a lot of different sources. In Romans 12, there lists seven motivational gifts. Guys, these aren't what we do, but who we are. Okay? Seven, which is what? A complete number. What we observe here is if you watch the life of Christ, he operated in all of these gifts. And each one of us, as an image bearer of God our Father, right, we have a predominant gift, a way in which we see the world, right? And then we've also given you 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. We've given you manifestation gifts. What these are, what the scripture says there, is the Holy Spirit in the moment will empower you with these gifts. These are gifts that he will use to edify the body and build it up, right? So those aren't necessarily who you are. It's what the Spirit does in and through you, right? Third one here, 1 Corinthians, if we continue on, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. Now, these are the ministries, the ministry gifts. And so what we have here, you can see the difference, manifestation gifts. First one here, utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Okay, right from the scripture here. And these things that are manifested in a minute. Has that ever happened to anyone? Did you just, there was this wisdom that you received. And it was given to you supernaturally. It wasn't something you studied and knew. But in one moment you can get that, and the next minute you can be clueless. Right? You're not the wisdom person. This isn't who you are. This isn't what you wear and who you are. You're not always wise necessarily, right? But depending on what God's asked you to do, he might empower you with supernatural wisdom. Okay? Now, opposed to a ministry gift, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, administration, helping in various kinds of tongues. Praying about this, what you can see is you can sort of see what happens is you can have a manifestation gift where there's healing that happens. You pray and someone's healed. Now, if that becomes something that God uses you for over and over again, then you could end up being involved in a ministry, right? A ministry of like a miracles type of ministry. It's a different thing. You see, it's not necessarily a one and done thing. It's something God's calling you into doing. And from that, Ephesians 4 talks about the offices that Jesus set up for the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And then I have to throw this in there because this gets really confusing. The final one from Galatians 5, you can see here we've got fruit of the Spirit. What's fruit of the Spirit? How is that different than a gift, a spiritual gift? Okay, should be happening all the time. What else? Someone else? Attitude? Is that what you said? Right, everybody should have this. But where this comes from is this is not necessarily what you do. This is where we get crossed up, guys, because we're like, I want to make myself more loving. I want to make myself more have more joy. I want to make myself have more peace. It's not what this is. What this is when the Spirit, when you're in the Spirit and the Spirit has filled you and working with you, this is what comes out of you, right? It's like an apple tree. What the fruit of the apple tree, if it's healthy, is apples, right? This is the fruit of a believer if they're walking in the Spirit. These things come out of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a lot of information, I know. You don't have to know that because for this session, we're going to focus on Romans 12, okay? Seven motivational gifts. And those are, the first one is prophet, servant, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, mercy. What do you want to add to that so far, Brandy, based on what I said there? Yeah, you can. You don't have to stand in the corner. Yeah.
Okay, so from studying this for a while, these Romans 12 motivational gifts are not necessarily what you do, like Will would say, but it is how you view the world and why you do the things that you do. So it's going to be everything from the way you have relationships with people to even the way you pray or even the way you interpret the Bible, but it's the things that you do, right? Did I say that right? Okay. So also with these, this is one thing that I kind of want to set out there for you. When we take these profile tests or these personality tests, what we want to do a lot of times is jump right into, okay, this is where I need to serve. That is not what this is about. Yeah. That's what those are about, but this is not what these motivational gifts are about. So I want you, in this time that we do this, to set this all aside. This is not, we're not here to get you to serve in children's church or be an usher or anything like that. We want you to get to know yourself better, who God has created you to be from day one. You put on these lenses, and this is how you see the world. So we're not here to get you to sign up for anything. In fact, I always tell people this, like maybe for 6 months, to just sit in this, and you got to start knowing yourself, because what we find a lot of times too, people will deny these gifts that they are because they don't want to look at themselves and they don't want to be these things. So give yourself some time. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just really examine who you are and be honest with yourself.
Yeah, so just so you know, there's not a sign-up sheet at the end of this, okay? If anything, if you're like, Pastor Will, I think I need to do this now that you... I would say, let's wait and pray about that. I want this to be a starting point, guys. I'm not proposing that this is everything. I'm really not proposing that this is everything. But what happens is, who here has taught, been a teacher, right? Okay, you might be really gifted at being a teacher, but how you teach is going to really come from the way that God has made you. And with each one of these gifts, there's a very strong way through empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in this, and then there's a very weak way inspired by the flesh. And so what we hope to do is present this stuff to you. It gives you something to begin to chew on and research and pray about and let God reveal to you. And once you understand yourself, something cool happens. Once you understand yourself, then it opens everything else up. Whatever God's asking you to do, and maybe it might even give you some insight on why you tick the way that you tick, why you do the things that you do. It might help you to identify ways in which you're living this gift out in a weak way, where God can improve and use you further. And it also might explain, right, the people around you, begin to see them and understand them a little different. Right? Is that fair to say? Okay. We found this to be really helpful. So as you're listening to this, listen to this discussion, it might really trigger something in you, and you might be thinking, because today we're gonna look at the prophet gift. Okay. If you think you have that as your predominant motivational gift, just set it down for a moment and listen. Listen to what they're saying, listen to the Lord. And you don't have to have all the answers today. No pressure. We want to get this information. This is discipleship. We're sharing what it is that God has been revealing to us, and hopefully the seed will be planted and God will water it, and it'll develop in believers activated and understanding where they're coming from and kind of how they're put together, if that makes sense. So I want you to meet someone else. This is Orion. You guys know Orion? Yeah. Orion. So Orion, everyone. Everyone, Orion. So come on and have a seat. Let's get started, guys. I even brought you a water, man. So I thank you guys for coming. I just want to pray over this. Lord, I pray that you would just carry forward that which you planted in our hearts to do this. I thank you for these two who are exposing themselves basically to these people and saying, I realize that this is my motivational gift and where I'm coming from. And I pray that it might be helpful, Lord, to build up your body and to begin to build a body of Christ, equipped, working together, loving one another, who can take the gospel to our community, Lord, and to the world. So we just thank you for that. Amen. Okay. So we've got this microphone for you guys. So Orion and Brandy, They were part of a group where we went through this material together, and we spent countless hours at home, I think, talking about it, but also 5 weeks together going through that. And both of them have come to realize that they have the motivational gift of prophet. And so rather than me, who doesn't have the motivational gift of prophet to just give you data, I wanted to invite them. But also, I want you to see them as people who've kind of been through that. If you're chewing on this, walking through it, that it might be helpful to have somebody you can talk to that would understand. So let's go this way. We're going to start here, guys. So Will, this is great what you're talking about, but let's not get so far away from the Bible here. This is discipleship, but let me take you back. We're taking this out of Romans 12, verse 6. And it says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. So this is the prophecy part. Let me give you, I looked back because this prophecy word, right, for some of us, we're excited about that. For some of us, it freaks us out, if we're being honest. So what does the word mean here? If you take a look at it, I mean, really this phrase here, if prophecy in proportion to our faith. It's really a warning here against going beyond what God has given to us and beyond which we have faith to do. What I mean by that is if you're someone and God gives you something, a revelation of something that you didn't see before, who knows what you're supposed to do with it? This is a problem we get into in the church, right? You see something, it seems to be true, you think God's revealed something to you, and you automatically think what? I got to tell everybody. Right? Let me ask you too, if every time you see something that other people don't see, does God want you to tell? Okay, sometimes what is it that he wants you to do instead? Shut your mouth. Yeah, right? Right, wait, yeah. So this will give it away. If you're out with prophets, they might do this. Actually, literally put their hand over their mouth because that happens. There you go. So now you're seeing that face, okay? They've got some. Now you're on to them. The word prophecy here, the meaning in the context of this, it's a discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing things hidden, including foretelling future events. That's the meaning of that word. Okay? So now let's get real specific with the prophet. Here's what has been observed. People with a motivational gift of prophet. This is some things. Something that's a big deal to them is truth and justice. Okay? Truth and justice. They tend to see things as black and white, right and wrong, judges and evaluates everything, even situations that do not directly impact them. So when I say that, what do you think? Yeah.
There is truth.
Yeah, you want to use
point, Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. There's no gray. It just it is what it is. You throw that saying around.
Yeah.
Something comes up and you're like, no, this is it, or whatever, and you come off kind of blunt. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So justice and truth is important. Okay. Anything that you want to add to that?
Just the whole thing, too, about the black and white. Like, it's very black and white for us. It's definitely no gray.
Do you want to speak? Like, make sure you speak in the microphone.
Sorry. Hear. It's either this way or that way. There's, like, we don't have a lot of grace for the in-between. So then we can come off kind of strong, I guess. Yeah.
Passionate.
Passionate. That's my word. I like to always say, I'm passionate.
Might not be working out.
Yeah, and you don't. Not that you don't care that there's other opinions or whatever, but it is, you just kind of, no. Or that's when you get quiet, and you're just kind of like, okay, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Can that person get offended pretty easy?
Do you find that you get offended very easily when someone confronts you with the same pull of this?
I don't say it. No, I would say, yeah.
I don't know. That's working.
No, not at all.
Is
Would you say
that's
you
a hard one? Yeah.
Would you say
you don't get offended, but you don't? It's not that you don't care. You just kind of like, okay, sure, whatever. Yeah.
Would you prefer people to be blunt and bold with you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Steve. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in the flesh. Like, if you don't sit on it or think about it or, you know, especially people like, say, non-Christians, you know, that don't have a relationship with God, they'll just call things how it is or say whatever and be judgmental, mm-hmm. you know, and they might be speaking truth, but it's coming from a place of flesh, not of spirit, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think what we see here, because this is something that's created in you. Even if you're not surrendered to God and the power of the Holy Spirit, these things would manifest in your life. So you would actually have an ability just to see through some of the garbage, and you would want very much so to call it, right? And so the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you when to speak it and when not to. So if you're not surrendered to that, but you would find that. A lot of these gifts you would find even outside the context of the kingdom of God. They'd be at work in how you just see the world and interact with people. Right? So what about efficiency? The second thing here, they process quickly. So they will make decisions quickly. Time and the use of time is important. What do you guys think about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
100%. What do you guys want to do for dinner? I don't know. This, that, whatever. No. We're just going here. You guys feel like this? We're going here.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's get there now because we're going to have to wait 20 minutes to get seated. So we better...
Right.
Well, yeah, sometimes you kind of just, I'd say shut down, because it's very exhausting to deal with that. So you kind of just go, I don't care. You guys decide. And let me know when you're ready. Yeah. I'm going to go back to this task or doing whatever I was doing before. Right? Is that?
Yeah.
We're family, so we've been here. At very big events of going out, deciding where to eat.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you can't hear him?
Okay.
Make sure you guys
talk
into the mic. Yeah, if you would.
Talk
louder. Yeah.
Higher?
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. Well, and then you can be very opinionated too, because you make those quick decisions. Yeah. Okay. And then the time thing, I noticed, like, even when we were doing this class out here, like, it was getting closer to 8 o'clock, and I'm like, we got to finish. We're not getting all the stuff we need to get in. And I wasn't worried about my time, but I was worried about everybody else's time, because, like, they have things to do. They need to get kids to bed. But my husband is like, he could still talk for an hour.
Right.
So time is very important, I don't know, to me. Yeah. Is it to you?
Yeah,
and I see this with the people I know that walk in this gift, is this is their attitude. Why not try it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you present something new to them, they're like, let's just go. Yeah, sure. Yes. Let's try it. And where other people with different motivational gifts would be like, I don't know. Right? Let's think about this. Or I'm not sure. Let me feel this for a while. There's this pause that isn't there. Yeah. Okay. An example?
How?
So the question is this. The question is, is there an example of when one of you was given, you saw some kind of truth, right? There was this, God gave you something, some kind of prophecy, and what did you do with it?
Well, sometimes for me, like, God will speak to me in the way maybe I'm supposed to talk to somebody about, I don't know if I'm going to answer this right. But God will give me something for somebody, and I'm supposed to talk to him about it. Like, in the past, when I didn't know this was, like, my gift and I didn't walk in it right, I would just go up and say something, and then it would come across really rude or, I don't know. But anyways, and, like, now, though, I'll sit on it and pray about it before I go and tell somebody. But sometimes that's what God will do. It's just something to even... I don't know.
No, you answered it good.
I'm trying to think of, like, some example, but I want to be careful not to say.
So, but also the thing is, I would say your question here, and this is where it gets so confusing, guys, and I want to know this more, but I can't know everything before I give you this truth, okay? But what we have here is we have a crossover. Just because this person sees the world as a prophet There's a good chance that God's going to reveal things to them. But however, you can see prophecy turns up in a manifestation. So I'm not a prophet, but at times God's shown me something, right? Even if you're not a prophet, he might give you some kind of revelation. So even though they see the world as a prophet, they're not the only ones to receive prophecy. And, right, prophets as far as ministry that existed in the past. So we're dealing with not only the motivation, but this is one that's far stretching. Because different believers, you better hope to God that your pastor receives some kind of revelation from God, right? Prophecy. Like, wives do this for husbands, and husbands do this for wives, and parents for kids. God will reveal things to them no matter what their motivational gift is. So if you're like, a few times God's given me something, don't think this is automatically you. That very well could be a 1 Corinthians manifestation of the Holy Spirit in you. That makes sense?
Yeah, I've had prophecy where I've dreamt or seen things and, right? And written them down and whatever, and it's been something that's manifested later. But I would say it's more of a discernment, because again, it's how we view the world. Yeah. So there's a lot of things running through your head when you're talking to somebody. There's a lot of things when you see people. Like, I'm a people watcher, so I'll just like kind of scan the room a lot, and just, you know, you kind of like, that's just how you see the world.
It's almost,
you
know, like what I mean? Your brain never shuts off. Right?
Your brain doesn't shut off. It's, yeah, and like, I'm really quick to fall asleep, let's just say, but you know, a lot of times too, it'll just be like, I'll just wake up and I'll, this is playing in my head for whatever reason, but it's something for tomorrow. You know, it's not necessarily you're always getting prophetic things.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that's this, this was said by a prophet, so I wrote this down, ability to see a preferred future. So you could see what's possible. The prophet a lot of times will say, we're not doing things right. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not doing things right. I can see it. I can see the preferred future. I see the way that this should be.
Should be going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Anne?
Do you guys like your gift?
Oh, we'll talk about that.
That's a great question. That's a great question. That's an A+ for Anne, right? A+ for Anne.
So this thing, though, we will see the preferred future, but a lot of times, I don't know about for you, but for me, I don't know how to get there. That's right. Why I need the exhorter, I need the leader, because I can present the idea, I just don't know how to get there sometimes, because it's so big. Like, you have these big ideas, and you just keep getting them and getting them. You need help getting to that place, though. Is it the same?
Yeah, that's where I'm like what Will said, the guy that's like, well, let's just do it.
Yeah.
If we're wrong, we'll find out. You know, or
start something new.
Let's just get it done and get it going, yeah. And whatever, you know, and like Carrie always says, I have to do it, and I have to do it now, and if I can't do it and get it done, I don't want to do it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and that kind of comes into the leader part. There is a leadership quality to the person with the motivational gift of prophet, and it works kind of like this, in two ways. One, what we see is they'll go where others won't. Everyone else is sort of stumbling in paralysis analysis, and the prophet's like, let's just try it, right? And so everyone's like, okay, you get started, we'll follow you. So it's almost a reluctant leadership type of thing. Like, I don't want to be the leader, but it happens to me sometimes because I'm willing to go boldly where other people won't go. Or I can see before they can see, right? And the other thing they say is sometimes they might lead when they're not supposed to, right? Those are kind of the two things. What do you think about those, leadership-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. In my work life, it's like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's tiring and whatever, but somebody has to do it, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do it.
Use the microphone if you can. I lost my thought.
I think, yeah, for the biggest thing for me, when I first saw this, like, the leadership thing, because we have this book that gives you this, like, profile, I was like, leadership? And then I sat with it for a while, and I prayed about it, like, what does that really mean? And that, what I felt like the Lord was telling me is that you'll lead people into the unknown. A lot of people won't, but you will be willing to, like, let's just try it and see where we go. And then some people might be reluctant, but when they see it start working, they'll follow with you, too, but, yeah.
Growing up, I was like the guy that would like rally people, like, yeah, let's go do it. We're dumb kids. Let's do something stupid. Sure, that's a great idea. Yeah. So-and-so wants to, you know, right? Sled down a hill that's dangerous. Yeah, let's go. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Why not? It'd be fun, or we'll die. You say that part quieter. So,
yeah,
so the other types of people.
You're right, yeah. So independence is another part, being independent. They're very independent, people with the motivational gift of profit. They love time alone, and they need time alone to refuel, to re-energize in the process. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
Sorry.
Yeah. So,
true story.
Yeah.
True story.
He said in the scripture, a lot of the prophets, those who had the office of prophet with this gift, were not well liked. And it's true because they had to speak boldly against things that people didn't want them to do, right? Yeah.
Love you guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
As far as the time goes, that's me to a T. I would say before this last year, of even going through this and knowing it, it was just, you're in my bubble, or I need my space, or I'm going to go disappear for a couple hours and just go play guitar or whatever and do my own thing or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you kind of come off as like introvert, antisocial, whatever, you know? Yeah, and... So going through this has been really cool because it's kind of like, it does make sense that you are worn out and you need that break.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to do your own thing sometimes, you know.
And this is one of those things that's so important because I'm not this way, I would assume loving someone with this gift, what's wrong? Why do you have to go be alone? Right?
What's wrong with you?
So in knowing this and how God created us, You there's this permission to be who you are, which is really important, right? And so I think that's a very powerful truth through this investigation. Yeah,
So knowing this about your wife, do you facilitate her chances to be alone?
I try,
can
yes.
So this is very hard. So Orion, I was going to say O. We call him O. I'm BK, just in case we slip up there. So Carrie and Will are total extroverts and to the extreme, and we are so like introvert. And so with Will, we have learned over time to be able to, I mean, he'll even notice, like, I think you need to go spend some time alone in your bedroom or whatever. It's a timeout. I really need it.
I'm out.
So, but it's cool because he'll see that in me now. As before, it was like, he would really say, is there something wrong with you? Like, you should be out with the rest of the world. What is wrong with you?
Are you mad at me?
Right? Yeah, are you mad at me? No, I just... But when we started figuring this out, then it was, like, so huge because then I knew I needed that time alone, and then I could realign. Mm-hmm. And then it was just, like, I can get back to where I needed to be, and then I was able to function again. But it does. You just get really off, and you kind of get grumpy, and... it's really hard for you to focus on the things you need to, but you need to go spend time alone because God needs to fill you as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Reggie.
So
I need this every day. It's an everyday thing. Like, even for me, I like to go pick up my boys and I leave early and I will sit in the car and I will just read my Bible or I'll listen to praise music or I'll just sit quietly with no agenda. I need it every day.
So what Reggie was asking is this needing time alone. I mean, basically he was asking, is this something that's really frequent for you? Because it seems like all of us at times need time alone. And you're hitting on a really good point, which goes on, like, this is where you start, but not what you stay, where you stay. That makes sense. Every one of us needs, the church called it quiet time, right, with God. Everyone, no matter how you're put together, if you grow in Christ and in walking in the Spirit, it's going to take alone time. But that's not where you start. That's where God grows you and where the Spirit moves. Does that make sense? For them, it's going to feel that way naturally. For the exhorter like me, I have to learn to know that I need the quiet time, even though my build doesn't tell me I do. That makes sense, so you don't burn out. So now you're getting into spiritual development. Right, exactly kind of what you're saying. Yeah, Orion, go ahead.
Yeah, and I do it a few times a day. So like I'll take a lunch break and I'll go somewhere. You know, I won't just eat at work or whatever. I'll go to a restaurant or I'll go home and just sit at the kitchen table and eat and watch YouTube videos or whatever, just like zone out and recharge. We joke about that 2:30 feeling commercial where the guy drinks a little energy thing or whatever, and we call it a 2:30 break at work. And it's generally when I'm like, hey, who wants to run to the store with me? And we run down to the little corner gas station by my work, and you know, we go buy a drink or something, a soda, and then head back. And it's just, I mean, that's 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but it's enough to just kind of clear your head, I guess, you know, get out of your normal daily everything. So
yeah. And so then let me just add this one other thing and we'll get to that question. So all this, you know, because you see this, it creates a holy discontent of doing things just because we've done them this way before, right? You have that clarity. Yeah, what question did you have?
Well, this is, Orion, you mentioned this a while back about dreaming.
Okay, dreaming.
There's a difference, and there's, at least in the ones that I've had, there's more of a clarity and more of a real to it. It's less of, oh, I had a weird dream and I kind of remember part of it. Mm-hmm. The ones that I know were from God had meaning, and I remembered everything about them.
Yeah.
And a friend told me this, and this was 15 maybe even 20 years ago or whatever, he said, you need to start writing this stuff down. And so that's what I would do. It's definitely different. There's something more real about it.
So her question was about dreams and how you know whether it's just a random dream or if it's something from God. And so once again, right, that's why...
pray about
it. Yeah, you've got to keep asking the next question. You've got to keep asking God, okay, what's this about and where do we go from there? And once again, right, just because you have dreams that are prophetic doesn't mean this is your motivational gift. Now we're going on into manifestations of the Spirit and ministries of prophecy. Make sense? We want to jump to everything, but we've got to start here, right? We've got to start here. So what about this? Holy discontent of doing things because we've done them that way before. Is that true?
Yeah, we don't like the status quo.
Don't like the status quo, she said.
Not at all.
Not at all. No. Okay. Takes initiative, and with that, takes initiative and enjoys things that are new. They have a basic boldness and not intimidated of the unknown or change.
Yeah, Carrie thinks I have too many hobbies, but it's like I always want more.
You get bored,
right? You get bored? So bored, and I want more information, and I want to know everything about that subject. So I will go online and research, or I'll talk to people, or like I'll get a random thought in my head, so I'll call somebody that I think knows about that.
Right.
And just like talk to him for half an hour about it. She's laughing because it's so true. It happened 2 days ago. I just had a thought in my head and I just jumped on and I called somebody and I was like, hey, can I do this? Is this possible? And they're like, I don't know. And then so then I researched it, and then I was late coming back from lunch from work. So, but yeah, you get.
Like it's because you need a purpose.
Here, put that on the mic so you can notice that one. They want to hear that.
I said, I asked him, do you feel like it's because you feel like you need a purpose?
Yes, I'm gonna say yes. That's a hard one. Man, that's a hard one. Yeah, I would say yes. And I wouldn't say it's like a purpose from your life, but a purpose for that moment or that thing, whatever it is. Right. It's just you need... It's a need. It's not a... And it's. I think it's something that's just ingrained,
yeah,
what God did to us. You know what I mean? Because it's like I need to do this way because that's the way it is. And that goes back to the black and white.
Right. So. Well, it might even bridge into this, is committed to truth. So someone with the prophet gift, their truth is so important, they're committed to truth. And so there's a pursuit of that truth that at times can almost come across like almost obsessive, right? Like laser focus on that. If it's right, they'll do it regardless of whether anyone follows.
And that's one of the negatives.
Yeah, it can't be.
Because sometimes you can't let things be.
Yeah.
Or you
passionate.
Passionate. Obsessed. Yeah.
Yeah, question. Uh-huh. Okay, so he makes the point, if you have a vision or a dream or a mission from God, it becomes your responsibility. It's not going to leave you. So that might be another way, is the persistence of that. That's a good point. Yeah, so, I mean, I see that, right? You have truth, but you also have purpose, right? So you can see the desired outcome in the future, so this commitment to that can really be focused, right, and not let it go. Next thing it says is looks for a reason or a principle that explains the why of every situation. Yeah.
What so do they like call a you long sometimes? Time ago, I got this nickname called the why girl because I would ask why all the time. I had to have an answer for everything.
Why?
And if it didn't make sense, I would keep pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. So I've learned to kind of back off on that a little bit because I know that I can go to God and ask him, but I can get a little, again, obsessed or passionate about the whole, like, why? Why do we do what we do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you disagree with the outcome or whatever.
Right.
Like, Carrie will call me and say, our oil change was $400, and I go, why? I want to talk to this guy who changed our filter and did all these things. And she goes, I don't know, they just told me that's what it's going to be. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so there's a lot of questioning and wanting to know the truth or whatever. Even just wanting to know why, even if it's a bad reason. You just want to know.
You want to know the truth.
You just want to know, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think that's scripture.
Yeah.
I wonder too, when you guys see something, sometimes you have to talk to somebody else to verify it or say, well, this is verified, it's a pretty powerful thing you're saying.
It'll sit wrong with you.
Here, so he's asking about people who come up with prophetic words, right? And they feel like they have to share it, and so how do you know if you receive something? I mean, we're kind of getting, I mean, not to, we're getting sort of away from what I'm trying to do here, honestly.
Because this is about a do.
It's about who you
who
are.
Who we are and how we view
doing.
The world, not what we do.
Not like what a prophet does. So.
Just how we view the world.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good question, but it really comes down to this. I think you see that Paul was talking about it. If you could, right, if you could speak with tongues of angels, if you could do all these things, but you didn't have love, then everything that you did would just be a bunch of noise. I mean, he's talking to prophets. I don't care what God's shown you. If you present it to the body without love and with a critical, judgmental nature, then it doesn't matter about being right, right? So, I mean, we always have to kind of go back to that. And so them learning to navigate, what do I do when I see something? That's really like, that can be hard and not every time it's the same. I mean, I appreciate the question, but I just want to direct it away from that because we can get into too many situationals. Because I'm not saying these two have a prophetic ministry, you see, right? Or saying that they have the office of prophet in the church. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I want us to see is some of you guys are put together this way. And the people around you, even yourself, don't understand that. And we don't understand how it is to utilize and support the people that see the world this way as God created them. And I want to know more how to do that. As Brandy's husband, I've learned to say, maybe you need to go to the room. Right? And now she's safe. She can come to me and say, I need to get away. I need a little quiet time, and I'm not like, what did I do, right? I'm like, no, do it. So in community in my house, I like to duplicate that here, right? Because as we know one another, you're like, I know, I have this gift, I see the world this way, I can jump right to the critical nature of the matter, and I need to put the brakes on a second and pray about it.
It's kind of like that aha moment, like when you start learning other people's gifts, you're like, oh, I see why they're doing that. So if I, you know, my husband sees, oh, she's coming across kind of critical or judgmental, she probably has a passionate thought and she needs to get it out. And so he knows, just let her get it out. And then a day or two, it might pass and then right. we'll be fine. You know, and so he doesn't even react to it now. He just knows this is what she operates.
Because I think like a counselor had told me that too, you know, being, and there's a gender difference here too. She said, you know, so someone with the prophetic gift and being the woman and all this stuff, she'll get passionate about something and she'll like leave the ground, you know? And so my responsibility as her husband is to be here and love her and not take it personally and just be there when she comes back down. Right? Right? Because she sees a desired, a perfect desired outcome that may not be, it may not be the time for that.
Yes.
Right?
The one, I want to get it done now.
Wants to get it done now. Okay. That's the next thing, a high standard of holiness. What is right as measured by God's truth? This can make it difficult to forgive themselves and others, right? A high standard of holiness. They get reading in the Bible. What do you tell me? We're not doing this
We're
right.
We're not doing this right.
Right? What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Right, because sometimes...
These are the weaknesses, so it's a little bit harder to
Well,
talk
yeah, because I mean, sometimes it's like we should all just sell our houses and live in tents.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the prophet might see that. And I'm not saying that's actually... the wrong thing to do. However, I don't know that that's what God's asking us to do. But you see that, the high standard of holiness. You're like, we are so far from where God wants us to be. And the prophets see that. And they're not wrong.
Yeah, this is definitely like a weakness. One, because when you have those bad days or bad moments or whatever in your life, I feel like you dwell on them a little more. Mm. It's harder for you to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
When somebody wrongs you, like... especially before knowing this. And I think knowing this has helped because I would almost replay the scenario in my head over and over again of why didn't I say that or why did I say what I said?
Yeah.
And you would almost dwell on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you kind of, it's. I don't think you intentionally hold yourself to that, but you do.
But you do.
But you do.
Yeah. So talking about blind spots or weaknesses, here's a couple that we'll give to you. If you're not careful, they can damage relationships for the sake of being right or holding on to a conviction. Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Being right but not loving. Yeah. Yeah, since you have a tendency to dive right into things, do you encourage that in other people?
Yeah, and you get frustrated when they don't.
Right.
So when you're like, just do it and get done. Let's go, like, you know, or whatever, you know.
Some people can call me pushy.
Yeah, you've been called pushy before, she said. Yeah. So also the words and actions, because they're passionate, right, they come off stronger than intended.
Very blunt.
Very blunt.
To the point. I would say that a lot of things that go through my mind are choosing your words carefully. My mom used to say that when I was a kid. Choose your words carefully, you know, whatever. Yeah, careful what you say, whatever. Because you just come off like, this is how it is, this is how I feel, and you don't care who's in the room. You know, you could just, it's that's definitely a weakness.
Right.
So.
Just let it go and watch it.
Yep. So it's kind of what you hit on earlier, Orion, too. Another weakness or blind spot, not overlooking the failures and weaknesses of others that leads to unforgiveness or bitterness. You can't overlook the failures and the weaknesses in others because you can see it so clearly that sometimes you can become unforgiving or bitter or upset about it.
And sometimes those things drive you like crazy to a point where, like, and I'm thinking of somebody specifically right now where you're like,
right.
And Carrie knows who I'm talking about, but it's like, it's not her. FYI. But you're like, just do it. You know, right. you know this. She knows who I'm talking about. I'm trying not to be specific, but you know better. We've talked about this. Yet you haven't changed or made that happen in your life, and instead they want to talk about it more. And so that's seeing who they are in their gift and how they see the world,
right,
and trying not to trample all over that just because we're kind of a bold creature,
right?
Or I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one here, the passion and drive for excellence can quickly turn to criticism, judgment, ingratitude when you focus on the 5% not done well instead of the 95% done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both saying yeah. A couple questions for you guys then too. So what are the biggest challenges of having the prophet motivational gift? What do you think is the biggest challenge, maybe the most difficult thing about that? What would you say?
I think for me, like, because God does speak a lot of truth to me, it can be really hard to, like, to hold that back, and you do want to just, like, speak it out. And so people do tend to see you as kind of mean or pushy or over the top or, that I've been called words we can't say at church, yeah. So, and this has been my whole life. And now that I've done this, like, it makes sense. But I've learned how to with God's help, to kind of not be so.
Well, like you've told me before, like, because, see, that's the whole point of this. Like, it's not, you don't just stop here and say, it is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am, right? So just deal with it. I'm going to be bold and deal with it. No, you begin to learn, okay, I got to submit my natural tendency to do this to the Holy Spirit to lead me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he does, man. He wants me to come in like a wrecking ball, right? And take care of something. But sometimes I need to be quiet and offer it to God in prayer, right? Because I see something that's broken and not working right. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. One of the other ones that, and we've talked about this too, is generally we're an introvert. Like, with the space that we need and whatever. I remember, like, the first Christmas we spent with your family at your grandparents' house, and everybody's doing their thing and whatever, and here's me and BK sitting by the fireplace talking to nobody, and she just turns to me and goes, "Hey, welcome to the family." And that's it. That's all she said, and then she went back to just looking around or whatever.
Awesome.
So that's been a challenge. I would consider us over the years, at least, becoming more high functioning.
Yeah, it's like this.
So if I don't walk by you and, "Hey, how you doing," or whatever, don't take offense. I'm just focused and I'm doing my thing, or I'm trying to whatever, or
right?
I gotta play, or I don't know.
So when
it's actually really hard.
We take it very personal.
Very personal, yeah, and it's somewhat uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I'm not saying don't do it, but you know, there's parts of it afterwards where it's just like, what do we do with this information, or how do we process it the correct way? I don't know.
Yeah, because her question is that if people bring you information, you know, what do you do with it? You take it into your quiet time? Do you ring it out and let it?
Yeah, and like one-on-one is awesome. Like, that's a lot easier to process. So if we were sitting down and there's less people around and we're having a real deep conversation, I can totally do that. And I think that's because you feel a little more free to express your thoughts or feelings on that or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in a group setting, it's hard to, maybe because there's so much more going on.
So what do you love most about your gift of prophet? What would you say do you love about it?
I think some of my positives might be a negative for Brandy, because the assertiveness has been good for me in, like, I guess a worldly standpoint, as far as, like, business goes. Like you said, the unintentional leader, the person to make the quick decisions, whether there's a risk-reward. Well, there's always a risk or a reward with that. And you kind of come off as, like, especially as a guy, there's just a little more, like...
It's celebrated a little more.
It's celebrated more. You're bold. You make decisions quick. You know, you don't care what other people think, so you can make those judgment calls and move forward and excel or whatever, whereas I think as a girl, it comes off worse and people think you're a B word or whatever.
Is that is that true, Brandy? Do you think that? Okay.
Yeah, it's very it is totally true. And so like just that's a positive for him. It's not for me. Because I do fight that a lot in the world. People don't like that a lot of times when a woman is assertive like that. So they will kind of shoot him down. They will, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Bullies, yeah, yeah, it can be, yeah.
They think we're bullies too, but it's accepted. It's socially accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you love most about your...
My thing that I love the most is that I feel kind of special because I feel like God speaks truth to me and I get to see it in a way sometimes other people don't get to see it. And even though it could be a weakness, I that's one thing I absolutely love. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I feel that one's a burden.
See? Right. So then, yeah, he's saying he feels that's kind of a burden because God gives him this responsibility.
Yeah, it can
right?
be, yeah. but it's yeah. awesome at the same time. Yeah.
So what about if you could... So in your motivational gift, prophet, what do you wish others understood about you?
The thing that I wish people would understand the most about me, just because I'm not emotional out front like this, does not mean I'm not a caring and emotional person behind scenes. A lot of people will think that I'm emotionless. They will think that I'm cruel. But I... Don't laugh, Carrie. Don't laugh. But really, like, we are so compassionate. We, like, when you come and bring your problems to us, we hold on to it and pray about it. And it, like, sometimes it can, we wake up in the middle of the night praying about it. We are so compassionate and we are so caring and so loving. And so I do wish people would understand that more about a prophet.
Yeah, same. We don't, like I said, we don't let things go, I guess. So it'll go back in my head again and again and again. And, I don't know if we feel like you take on other people's junk sometimes, which definitely happens. I was laughing because Carrie calls me a cold-hearted snake. And this goes back to the, our efficiency and time is precious and we only give to things that truly matter, I believe, or at least in our opinion. So if I'm going to spend an emotion on something, it's going to be important. It's not going to be a rom-com that she's crying about, and then she looks over at me, and I'm like, you know, or whatever. It's a movie. I'm sorry. They're actors. It's not a documentary, which I get into documentaries, and then I get angry because I see, like, the injustice in the world or whatever that's going on in some third world country that, you know, I can't really do anything about other than, you know, maybe donate or something, you know, or pray for them, exactly. Yeah, so...
So she asked, with a tendency to be more introverted, but also to be, what word did you use? Assertive. Assertive. Do you find it's harder to be in relationship with other prophets? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. It really depends on the...
Yeah, do you clash or does it go well together?
It depends on the situation. It depends on the moment, I guess. Because we've had some issues in the past where we're yelling at each other and... I may have slammed the door in her face. I don't know. But because I didn't want to hear it at the time.
Boldness conflict.
Because both felt that we were right in that situation, and it really was emotional, and it should have not been.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think it really depends on the person, because you can meet some that are in a different walk in their life, and they're at this level, and again, they're operating maybe more in the flesh, and so they're exhorting more of the anger issues or the maybe the rash decision making or whatever. But you're seeing it for what it is, because maybe you're in a better place in your walk. I don't know. So it really depends on the person.
Yeah. Who you can ask?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's asking about burden bearing. It sounds like for the prophet, they'll Like, once again, once it's qualified and it kind of gets past that and it's like, this is worth, there's a great burden. And how is that like, carrying it?
Is it hard? It's rough. I mean, it's, I'm just going to go to a recent example of like a week ago where a friend of mine was going through some pretty hard stuff. And I was there for him on Sunday and then on Monday. And I took that emotion on myself, even though the thing that happened to him didn't happen to me. I was upset about it all day. And because I didn't process it, I don't think, I ended up like dealing with it in a negative way. And I was angry and upset and, you know, rushing around work and kind of trying to deal with it in the wrong way, I would say, because by 3 o'clock, I finally was like, I need to take a lunch. I haven't eaten all day. I'm upset and blah, blah, blah. And I disappeared for an hour. And then I, no joke, by the time I got back, I was in a better place. I was happy. I was, you know, I had a moment to process it. So I feel like we.
Yeah, because I mean, I can say there's, in my position, I know about a whole lot more trauma and issues on any given day. But it'd be safe to say Brandy wakes up at night more worrying about carrying the burden for someone than I would because of the gift, you know. Even though the quantity, you'd think it'd be me because I have a greater quantity, but her is the one that get through, get deep. Yeah. Would you want to say anything else with that? Because we're about out of time, so. Okay. Anything you two want to add? So this could go on a real long time. And my heart is that this can be introductory. I know not all of you would be able to attend a class, but it's my intention to do that, to have another group where we can kind of unpack this a little bit more, where we would meet on an evening here at the church. But also you're getting to meet people who've kind of stepped forward and said, I'm learning about myself through the lens of this gift, that if something strikes a chord, that you can have these conversations with them. Okay?
One more.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I think the biggest thing for me is like learning this about myself and really accepting it and saying, yeah, because at first I was like, I hate this gift. I don't want it. I want to be mercy. And it just wasn't me. I really wanted to be mercy.
Yeah.
It's not me. Anyways. but there's such a freedom in it. Like once you fully accept who you are, like there's such a freedom in it. It's like so exciting. And so that's why I would just encourage, like, find that freedom.
Right.
And I would say that once you maybe figure out who you are, don't stop there. Learn about the other gifts because it'll help you as a person interact with those types of people and understand their pros and cons, their weaknesses, their strengths. And then and I think that's a better way of just being people together. You know?
Right. Yeah, we learn from each other. See, so it's a beginning. It's not the end. Like another funny example is we were at a hotel that had water slides. Lots of people, right? Lots of people, and it's warm. And if you could look at our entire family, so in case you didn't catch, Orion's my brother-in-law. So we have a large family, a lot of extroverts, lots of people in that. And my son Johnny also has the motivational gift of prophet. And I think Sutter does too. And so it would be funny because some of us were just getting and going, man. Water slides, sun and fun, and we're just like more people, people, people. And pretty soon you could see all the prophets were just sort of sitting there on the benches, like on the chairs waiting for us. And then you got in the water. But it was good because it was
We like the lazy rivers.
Right, right, right. So
I can go down a slide a couple of times and get the adrenaline, but then we want to just chill in.
But they were good with not talking to each other and just being present in that pool together. And those of us who needed that to get refilled by the people did that. And so we lived in community together and we learned from one another, right? I've learned so much from them about how to be still and how to hear from God. And so when, right? Yeah. So thank you, guys. Thanks for sitting. So give them a hand. And so, thank you. So I'll pray and invite the worship team up. But just so that you know, I mean, what I don't want surprises. What we're going to do is there's seven, right? So math majors out there can help me. But I'm hoping to do two gifts because we won't have to do an introduction. Two gifts each week. So for three more weeks, to go through this, just to introduce you to at least one person who has that gift to sort of begin to have this conversation and then create, I'm hoping, conversations out there, right? And everywhere that you go, and maybe a little bit of a hunger to understand who we are. And from that, I think it's important to see. I mean, you can see where Orion went, right? Nothing in the prophet profile would say that he's awesome on guitar. But he is. So what he does is not prophet. But because he's a prophet, he's learned a great way for him to get alone with God is to take that guitar, get alone, and practice. Right? So for him, because he's a prophet, what he's doing works with it. Brandy, on the other hand, right? She's been involved in different women's ministry, in counseling. So she's doing that through the eyes of a prophet. And it's not because her gift is counseling, as some profile would say. Her ministry is counseling. Her motivational gift is prophet. See, so it's just the beginning, and it opens a whole lot of doors. So let me pray, and we'll just worship the Lord through song. Thanks, God, for your goodness. Thank you for offering discipleship. I'm excited to go through this, Lord, and I don't want to go ahead of you, but I asked you to lead us because I would long to be part of a community where we did more discipleship. Not like a class some day of the week, although that isn't bad, but that we would begin to love one another enough to share what God's teaching us. And so we want to model that here today, God, as Jesus, as you did for us when you walked with the disciples and you ate meals and you slept on the road and in homes, and no doubt you dealt with their personalities and you dealt with their strengths and their weaknesses and you guided them. And so as we live in a community together here, that we would learn from one another, that we would learn from you who we are and where you're working in our life. And ultimately, not so that we were glorified, but that we would become a body of believers working together, bringing you all the glory and the praise, Lord, sharing your love and your good news with the world around us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.